am left with all this love and all these dreams and no place to put them.
Hi, everyone. This is a special edition of Daytime After Dark. I am so excited because we will be having J. Eddie Peck on. I am, like, so excited. He was my first, so of course besides Scott Reeves, but we don't have to tell him that. But he was one of my first ever soap crushes. Yeah. Okay, so today's show is about J. Eddie Peck will be here. I'm so excited. He was my first crush. Well, besides the Scott Reeves. And, you know, now my new crush, Christoph Sinzon. But let's not even go there, people. You know him from Dallas. You know him from AMC. So you know him from all, and you know him of Dallas, YNL, you know, everything. He's been on everything. He's been on The Barber. Oh, I'm probably saying that wrong. So let me bring him on. Hi.
Hi, Carly. How are you?
Good. No, I'm serious. You were my first soap crush besides Scott Reeves. There was kind of a contest in my head between you two, and I could never pick.
That is a wonderful compliment, because I have often thought Scott is one of the most attractive young men in daytime. Although we're not so young anymore, but I mean, Scott is one of the more handsome guys you would ever see in daytime.
And you guys all, what are you talking about, Eddie? You guys all feel hot. I don't know what you are seeing in the mirror, but
you guys are hot. Thank you.
You know,
but that's
sweet
of you, Carly. You know what? I take it. I will take it and run with it. Absolutely.
And now my crush is Christoph Sinzon.
Another wonderful, handsome man as well.
Yeah.
Christoph is a great guy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's been on the show, but did you guys have any really good scenes back in the day with him?
Well, you know, we did work together on occasion. We didn't have a lot of, you know, of the heavy confrontational scenes. Kind of the closest thing was, you know, they started the pair Christoph up with Heather, you know, Victoria, for a short, very short time. And, and it looked as though we were going to do a triangle, but they didn't run with it. But I tell you, Christoph has been a friend of mine for many years. And he had a show called CBS Soap Break. I don't know if you ever caught that.
Yep, I remember that.
Yeah, and he hosted that show. So he came out to my ranch on two different occasions. They did two different shows, and we had a great time. I'm just so happy for his show, because those are those kind of interviews that you just want to keep and pass down to your grandkids someday.
Yeah.
You know, they featured my wife and my two boys when they were young, and just really a wonderful little keepsake interview. Of course, Christoph was so great to work with.
Yeah, and I wish I would have been there. But now on YNL, I feel like you and Victoria were the super couple. You guys were going somewhere, and then you found out you were Victor's son. I never bought. I'm like, no. Don't do this incest thing on us way before incest were totally made on the soap. You guys had it. And what did you think about, you know, you could have been Victor Newman's son, and now that would be scary for most guys. That
well,
would be
you know, I remember Victor said to me that day, he said, Cole Howard, you are not my son. Do you understand me? Eve Howard is not, I was never with your mother. You are not my son. I refuse to pay you residuals for the rest of your career. You're on your own, Cole. And just for that, I will give you my daughter, Victoria. And that's basically what he said.
Yeah, I mean, he did not want you to be part of the family.
Well, you know, it's funny, Carly, because when you're right. When I first came onto the show, you know, I was Victor's son, and they did the story with Nikki and Cole in the very beginning. But what happened on that, I don't know if you know the story, but actually what happened on that whole deal was that I loved working with Mel. She was wonderful to work with. But, you know, Cole was in the tech room for a number of months, and anyway, one day Victoria walks into the tack room, and he had never met her before. And when she walked in, Cole turned on the chemistry a little bit, and Melody Thomas-Scott and her husband Ed happened to be on vacation. So we had our next-in-line supervising producer, actually no, he wasn't our supervisor, but our next-in-line producer, David Shaughnessy, Charles Shaughnessy's brother, great guy, wonderful producer. And David came out. And he says, Jay Eddie, you can't have you're flirting with her. You can't have chemistry with her. She's your sister. And I said, well, David, I don't know. She's my sister. She's a cute girl who walked into the tech room. And Cole's just reacting in a way. He doesn't see a lot of girls come by. And here's this cute, sweet girl who walks into the tech room. And he kind of finds her appealing. I'm just working very honestly. He says, yeah, I know, but she's your sister, and you can't be flirting with her. I don't know she's my sister. So anyway, we flirted that day, and the next day I flirted again with her, and he came out and said, no, no, you can't be flirting with her. She's your sister. I said, David, I don't know she's my sister. She's this cute girl.
Yeah, you didn't know.
So anyway, Carly, a couple of days later, I got a phone call. I was at home. It was my day off. I got a phone call from Bill Bell. And Bill said, Eddie, it's Bill. Listen, I really like what you're doing with the kid. He called Heather the kid. I really like what you're doing with the kid. I think I'm going to put you two together. And I said, oh, Bill, that's great. I said, but Bill, she's my sister. Hey, listen, you let me worry about that. You let me worry about the story. You just keep on doing what you're doing. He said, we've been looking for somebody for, you know, a couple of years that has chemistry with that kid. You're the first one who's got it. So I'm going to put you two together. So that's what happened. And little, you know, of course, me, I wasn't too savvy back then about soap storylines and where people end up. Here, I thought it was a great thing because I really wanted to work with Heather, and I loved working with Mel. But I always knew, you know, that Nikki was Victor's girl, and there was no competing there. But little did I know that I was actually taking myself out of being Victor Newman's son and leaving the opening for Josh Morrow to come in and be his son. You know, I played it real every day. I didn't really play it for longevity. I played it for reality, you know. It's really,
well,
really good.
When you left, you broke my heart in a million pieces.
Oh, thank you.
And this, you know, I mean, Ryan Scarweave died. You left.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is not responsible. You two are not being responsible at this moment. Because I screamed at the TV. Like, I know the TV cannot talk back, but sometimes you just wanted to, you know, talk back, and it doesn't, and then I get mad at it. But
yes.
Why did you leave Y&O?
Well, you know, at that particular time, I was into my seventh year on the show, and you know, I had just signed a contract prior, and, you know, it was just one of those things where I was really on the fence at that particular time whether I really wanted to re-sign. It's not that I didn't love the show or love my role on the show. It's just that I knew I was at an age that if I'm going to get out of soaps and get back into prime time like I was before I came into soaps, I worked in prime time. So my thought was, if I'm going to get out, I really ought to get out now. And I had had a couple of other offers at that time that I was renegotiating my contract. And, of course, I had to say no to those deals. And I was really torn about saying no. I thought, oh, boy, I really would like to do some other things. So it boiled down to, Carly, I really wanted to do other things. And I was reluctant to sign. But I signed. I re-signed.
I did. I get it, because when you came on Dallas, I was happy with you again. With Dallas, You did such a good job on Dallas.
Thank
I mean,
you.
How was
Gosh,
that?
Gosh, Carly, yeah, you had to have been a young child when I was on Dallas.
Yes, I was. No, it was the one soap my grandfather quote-unquote soap beside Young and Restless that we would watch every week. And I wanted Larry Hagman to, like, saw it every week, but that wasn't going to happen. But how was that with Dallas? I mean...
Well, that was another, you know, it was kind of an interesting story that they were originally looking for this character. I played George Kennedy's son on the show. In those last two seasons, it wasn't so much about the Barnes and the Ewings. It was more about the McKays, George Kennedy's family. And the Ewings, and of course Barnes, Cliff Barnes, and J.R. had joined forces. And whenever I went in for the audition, what they were looking for was a Don Johnson type. And I remember I went on the audition, and all the guys looked like they were right out of Miami Vice. I mean, they had the knit, you know, sport jackets that were pushed up to the elbows, and they had the loafers on with no socks, and the pastel colors, and it was that real, and the scruff and the whole thing. But at that time, I had long hair, and
yes,
and you know, and I was kind of going through a stage, if you will. So when I walked in, I went in wearing my motorcycle jacket and torn jeans and boots and my long hair, and I did not at all look like what they were looking for. But I just kind of ran with it, and I think because it was just something different, I think maybe if I went in kind of playing that same role that everyone else was doing, I may not have stood out. But for whatever reason, Lenny Katzman, executive producer, took a liking to me, and once I saw that he did, I felt pretty bold, and I really ran with playing the character different than what they were first anticipating. So after I did one episode, I was into my second episode, and I went to Lenny and I said, Lenny, why make him a drug dealer? I said, let's make him an addict.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make him a drug addict. And he goes, you know what? Yeah, I like it. I like it. And they literally changed the story immediately and made him an addict right away. And I was really, really happy that they did that because you know, as an actor, it just gave me a lot more range. You know, I wanted to play this desperate, insecure guy. You know, who had a very significant substance issue, and he had some real relationship dysfunctional issues with his father and family. And he was a really, really troubled guy. And I was really itching to play a complicated character. You know, that had a lot of different dimensions. And he was just that, and I'm so thankful that Lenny and the writers at Dallas, you know, allowed me to play this character that was a different, you know, direction than what they initially intended, you know, to take him a different direction. I was very thankful of that, and it was such a great experience that cast that I work with. You know, I've always been so blessed to work with really nice people, but I might have to say that possibly Dallas was the best as far as they were all, again, I've been so fortunate to work with such nice people, but that Dallas cast was, they were such wonderful people. And, you know, me being just a young guy, you know, nowhere, the work under my belt that all of those contract players had, and they embraced me like I was one of them. They were just fantastic. And I just loved everyone there. And, you know, I've had some really good experiences, but that may have been my best. It just may have been my best experience.
Well,
I enjoyed it so much.
And I was sad when Dallas went off the air because, you know, I'm thinking, oh, Dallas can, you know, go on for another 40, 50 years. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
But, you know, I blame CBS on that.
It was a great show, great characters, great actors. I got to spend some time one-on-one with Larry Hagman just a few years prior to his death. And,
that is so good.
And that was really, really nice. Yeah, he invited me down to spend the day with him one day, and it was just fantastic. I went to his home in Santa Monica. We spent the whole day together, and it was just a really, really wonderful time. His personality, Larry was a really wonderful person, a unique guy, tremendous sense of humor, and he loved being JR. He loved
yeah,
his band.
He did.
He loved the show. And he was just the consummate actor. You know, he loved his fellow actors. He loved the craft. He loved the experience of being able to be an actor. And first and foremost, Larry was a family man. Larry was all about his family. He was a wonderful person. I actually went to his funeral here in Dallas, and saw you know, most all the cast, and everybody was there. It was really, really nice to see everyone again. And
I mean, Patrick Duffy, I feel so sorry for Alan DeGray, because they were best friends with him, and the shock on their face that he was actually gone. I just, like, I felt my heart was breaking for them, because it's like, come on, Larry is the one guy you never thought would pass on. But when you were on Days of Our Life, with, you were really good on that, but you were only on there for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
How was that? You know, because Days of Our Life is another really good soap to be on.
Yeah, that was another really wonderful experience for me. I had a wonderful time there. I didn't know a lot about soaps. I actually had I'd had a couple of reoccurring roles on Days and Y&R back in 1983 for one and maybe 4 for the other. Or maybe they were both in 84. I think 83 was the year. And so when I went, I really didn't know anything about daytime. The only thing I really knew about daytime was at that particular time, I had my first child, and everything that was being offered to me was sending me out of the country. I didn't want to leave my son. I had just bought a ranch in Southern California, and I didn't want to leave my son, leave my wife there to have to tend to, you know, the chores around the ranch. So I was like, I need a job where I can go to work every day and have a little bit of job security and come home at night. And my agents, you know, at that particular time, I had a multi-picture deal with Canon Films. They did two of the movies that I did. One was Lombada, and then the other was Dangerously Close. And I had two more pictures. Thank you. I had a couple of other two more picture deal with them. And I literally walked away from that to do daytime. And it was because, you know, all Canon was offering me is film shooting out of the country, and I really wanted to be home with my family, and I wanted to have a kind of a regular job. I'm the kind of guy that the life of an actor is not well suited for me, as far as the uncertainty of it and the inconsistency, that sort of thing is. You know, I'm a gambler, you know, as far as choosing to be to be an actor as a career. But for the most part, I'm the kind of person that likes a degree of stability. So at that point in my career, and certainly having a child and a lot of responsibilities with my ranch, I was like, I'm ready for something steady. And daytime was the perfect place for me, even though it was kind of a step backward in my career, or step down, if you will, in my career. That's not the way I looked at it. I looked at it that I wanted a career that was going to serve, you know, my life and my lifestyle and what was important to me, as opposed to the other way around, you know. And there's a downside to that, Carly. There's always a downside when you make decisions, career decisions, based upon, you know, what is the most comfortable for you, as opposed to maybe what's the best for your career. So I have made a few decisions along the way that had more to do with what was best for my family and less to do with what was the most, you know, advantageous for my career. Days was great. I got to work with Missy and Matt. Love the cast over there. I think back over the years. You know, Michael Easton and I were friends. Robert Mailhouse used to be on the show. Robert and I were friends, and boy, we used to do lots of crazy pranks and stuff. I was a little younger then, so I definitely was a prankster. We had a shower in the bottom floor basement. That's where a lot of us guys wanted to be. It was down there, you know. And every day, you know, we would all take a shower at work, not together, but there'd be two showers downstairs on the first floor, And I was that guy that every time Easton was in there taking a shower, man, I'd get a cold pitcher of water and throw it on him, you know. Same thing with Melhouse. They'd always try to get me, but they could never get me because I knew it. I knew
awesome.
They were coming.
Well,
but
we did a
number of different crazy things like that. Yeah, we were definitely pretty childish at times.
Wait, when you with because Steve Burton, I thought was on it around the same time you were. I could be wrong, but Steve Burton was also on Days, and I thought it was about the same time you were.
Yeah. Well, actually, I wasn't on when Steve was on, but I do have a Steve Burton story for you. This will catch you by surprise. He's not Steve to me. Well, he actually is Steve to me, but he was Stevie to me for many, many years because I met Stevie when he was about 9 or 10 years old. His dad and I were very good friends. And Stevie lived back in the Midwest. He was living in Ohio. And he would come out in the summertime and visit his dad. His dad had custody in the summer. And when he would come out and stay with his dad, where his dad oftentimes would, you know, want to, you know, go out of town or go spend time with his girlfriend or whatever. So he used to come to me and said, "Hey, will you take care of Stevie?" I said, "Sure." So we would babysit Stevie, my wife and I. She was my girlfriend at the time. But we would babysit Stevie, and we loved him. He was just a wonderful kid, beautiful kid, and of course grew up to be such an outstanding guy and wonderful actor.
That's why I thought you guys were on at the same time, because I thought all of the hot guys were like, you know, Scott Reeves was on Days, you were on Days, Michael
Scott,
Easton, like the hotness was never going to go away. But we have a lot of calls, but I have to say this. When you did AMC, I was happy camper, because I will always think of you as only Zake Martin for me.
Oh,
and
thank you.
Yeah, what was it like? Because, you know, you got to work with the other Victoria. I mean, now, you know, Emily is on.
Amelia Heinle.
Yeah, Amelia is on YNR now, so you guys were great on there. You guys were just so perfect together.
Thank you, Carly. Thank you.
Why do they have to end? Why? No, but also you and Greenlee, Rebecca Bundling, you guys were really good together too.
Thank you. Well, I think there was just kind of a different, there was a different chemistry with Rebecca and I. You know, she had something very special with Josh. And I used to go to work and see that every day. But I think that there was just a different dimension to our relationship, simply because Jake was supposedly this older, a little more mature, a little more conservative, sort of wound up guy, if you will. And I think that just thanks to Rebecca, that just had a nice alternative chemistry with her and another guy. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it, and I think she did as well. And it was nice. I was very excited to work with Amelia. Amelia and I did not even know each other. Funny thing, because you know she worked with Cameron quite a bit on the show, and I would see her, but we never really saw each other that much. And literally, the funny thing was, I mean, other than hi, I think I met her one time in the hall. And whenever we had our very first day together, we were at one of the big balls, and I was dressed in black. I was dressed in a tux, and she was dressed in a gown. And we had our first scenes together. And that particular day, those ballroom scenes take a lot of time, and we were behind budget, or rather, we were behind schedule.
Yeah.
And I met her in the ballroom. I asked her for the dance, and we danced a little bit. And then I think I took her back to, you know, I guess I had a tack room back then too. You know, that I took her back to.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
You did.
And I had the little kitten in my hand. Well, we never rehearsed that scene. We never ran the lines. That was the first time that I ever really spoke to Amelia. We're shooting those scenes. So I never even met, I didn't even know her. And because we were behind schedule that day, we didn't even have time to block it. They just said, "Hey, we're out of time, just get out there. Here's your mark, say it." And we had a really, really nice spontaneous chemistry from the very first time that we ever worked. And I knew that that she and I really had a nice thing going on, and I really enjoyed it a lot. Yeah,
you
I enjoyed it. She
did.
Was wonderful to work with.
Emma, and you were right about Rebecca working with Doss, and you know they had their own little supercover, but you guys worked too, and I wanted there to be like a Mo triangle with Leo, Jake, and Greenlee. I thought that would have been more hot and more, I don't know, nice. I don't know. I just thought they missed the boat on that.
Well, I had some things going on that didn't really come out too much at the time, but at that particular time when I, that I left the show, about 6 months, 7 months prior to me leaving, my mother had a stroke and was living in California. And I really wanted to get back to Southern California. I wanted to take a leave of absence is what I was trying to do, to get back to help my father, who was much older than my mother, to help my dad with my mother. She really needed care.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to let me out. And it took almost 7 months. And I told them, I said, I don't need to get out now, but can you possibly let me out for a leave of absence in about 6 or 7 months? And it took 6 or 7 months. And Brian Franz came in, and that's when he came into the network. And, of course, the day he came in and came to AMC, Felicia Baer had said to him, and she was in charge at that time of ABC Daytime, she said, J.D. Peck is the one who wants to go back to California. And so they let me out, and that was it. Well, when they let me out, that meant no coming back. And they made it kind of tough on me. And the unfortunate thing was the press, no one ever knew that J.D. Peck wanted to go back and take care of his dying mother. My mother actually passed. But the story, that they got out, the spin they put out was, he wanted to go back to Southern California and didn't want to work on the show. And it's like, no, I loved working on the show. I really loved working on the show. But anyway, was a great experience. As far as my run there, I'm very appreciative of the talented people that I got to work with every day, and great group, really great group, and great show.
Well,
I'm just so glad I had a chance
to
work on it.
I think you should go to General Hospital. Only took you haven't been on, and it will make me happy. And hey, I said that about Amy Martinez. I want him back, but he got killed. He loves the new hospital, and now he's going to be on Dave. So if I say it, maybe someone will call you up and kill you. But we have so many calls, and I don't want to get people mad at me. 410, you're on the air. 410.
Hi, this is Sean.
Hi.
Hi, Sean. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, J. Eddie Peck. I've been a fan of yours for a very long time.
Thank you, Sean.
And there's a movie that you did. It's a horror movie back in the 80s called Curse to the Bike. I'm a big fan of that movie. I love the special effects and everything. I was wondering, what was it like making that movie?
Well, that's a good question, Sean. That really is a good question. You don't really know what you're going to get into when you get into a horror movie that has special effects, and I had not done one before.
Right.
But the way it started off is when I was hired for the film. They sent me over in the San Fernando Valley to this really cool prosthetic shop owned by a guy named Screaming Mad George.
Right.
Screaming Mad George was a real up-and-coming special effects artist that was getting a lot of attention at the time, and he was in charge of developing all the special effects for this movie that I did. But what they did, Sean, was they cast my face initially, and then they cast my entire body in different positions. So in other words, they put a cast like one would have on their leg or their arm over my entire body with just straws up in my nose.
Right.
Well, a lot of people can't, they say they get claustrophobic. A lot of people can't do that. As a matter of fact, David Carradine was to play opposite me on that film.
Okay.
And Carradine went in with me to do the prosthetics, and he could not handle, he got claustrophobic, and they said, many, many people do. So David had to back out simply because they couldn't cast him to do, to actually wear or utilize, him for the prosthetics. But that was a lot of fun. You know, I worked with, I had to work very closely with snakes. If you remember,
right.
You know, there I was in this pool that was at the bottom of a ditch, and what it was, they brought out a backhoe, and they dug a hole. They dug a hole 18 feet deep, and then they filled the hole up with about 5.5 feet of water, sawdust, and I think sand, and it made like a pancake batter. They wanted it to stick to my face. They wanted it to be really thick.
Right.
And then they dumped in you know, over 250 water snakes. Now, a water snake is just like a it's just like a water moccasin, but it's not poisonous.
Right.
So anyway, yeah, I got bit a couple of times working with those snakes, and I was comfortable working with snakes, and became more comfortable working with them through that movie. But between that and the prosthetic, it was a really neat experience. It did take. When the prosthetics were really heavy, in other words, when I was really wearing a lot of stuff,
right?
It took 3 hours to get me in makeup and 2 hours to get me out.
Wow!
I wore a bald cap with a wig on it through a lot of the film, and then that snake was a mechanical arm. So they actually they cast my, you know, of course, my body, and they made something that was this plastic device that fit over my left shoulder, and my left arm was tied completely around my back to where my left hand was out the right side of my body. And then they would operate this mechanical arm. They would operate it by remote control. So all my running, my fighting, everything that I'm doing, I have my arm tied behind my back.
Well, watching it, you know, there are certain scenes where, you know, I mean, the way you describe it, you can't even tell that your arm is, your real arm is behind your back, because it's so, I mean, the special effect is so cool, and I love this. Like, I'm afraid of snakes, I don't like them, but watching the movie, it's like I can sort of separate myself from it. And but to see the end scene where, you know, she's in the car and you're trying to get at her, that entire scene is like disgusting, but it's like so cool.
Yeah, it is pretty disgusting, isn't it? It is.
Yeah. It's cool.
Oh, Sean.
Yeah.
So I'm so glad that you enjoyed it. That's very cool. It's not for everyone, but there are a few folks out there. As a matter of fact, I saw something a while back that it was like top 10. It's in the top 10 most popular snake movies.
Yeah,
of course,
really?
They don't make that many snake movies, but that kind of surprised me. I think it was number 7, I believe it was, 6 or 7, movies that involve snakes.
Yeah, because there's another movie.
We need to make better snake movies if that movie was in category.
There's a movie with Sam Elliott that he did, I think, in the 70s called, I think, Frogs or something, and it's similar to that, but it's you know, Curse 2 is just, like, the best, so I just love that movie. But,
well, you are such a kind man, Sean. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for talking to me.
Hey, absolutely. Thank you so much for calling.
Awesome.
Yeah, thanks, Sean.
Thank
for calling
you.
In.
Yeah.
Okay,
hey, you know what?
Yeah.
You know what, Carly? Anybody who's out there, you know, I have my Facebook page, and anybody who wants to friend me on Facebook, tell them to, you know, do so and say hello. It's there's a lot of different JD Pecks on Facebook, and some of those are fan pages, but my personal page is, I think it's just J Eddie Peck, and it's the one that has the highest number of friends on it. And then there's a fan page that's also JD Peck, but either one are fine.
Yeah,
but I'll throw that out there just
Trudeau.
In case. There's somebody like Sean,
you
know.
Yeah,
I was going to say,
yeah,
he just
you know,
love to have him as a friend.
Are you on
so
Trudeau anymore?
That's nice.
Are you on Trudeau? Excuse me for saying that.
You know,
are you on?
I'm not on Twitter, and I got to get with it. You know, to be honest with you, I've always been a little bit afraid of Twitter. I shouldn't be, but, you know, for different reasons. You know, I'm an executive for a company nowadays, and so I'm always really concerned about, you know, doing something wrong. But I need to get with it with Twitter. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, okay, the worst thing that can happen is you say something not smart, and all you have to do is delete it. That's pretty much
well, you know, I would, one thing I would not do is hopefully not say anything that I can be opinionated, but I'm not one that I don't like passing judgment on other people. And I absolutely detest spreading hatred of any kind. And I love animal stories. So that's kind of me. That's kind of what you get with me with social media. Don't spread hatred. Don't like to say anything negative. but love
yeah.
great stories of great human beings, and I love animals.
Yeah, but, I mean, Twitter, once you get on, you may never get off again. Personal experience, mm-hmm. I can tweet, and I look at the clock, and it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm like,
wow.
Yeah, I
it's
have to go to bed.
It's a,
yeah.
it's a wonderful tool that we have, and I should take advantage of it. I really should.
Yeah, but it's also bad, because, you know, it keeps you on for hours when you don't realize.
But you know what? That's part of it, too, Carly, because I am so incredibly busy. I already
yeah.
work a 75-hour work week, you know, and I just don't have a lot of time. And, you know, every day I get up, it's all kind of about time management. And I wished I was better
yeah, okay.
at it. I try to improve it all the time, you know.
Well,
but I need to get
looking,
on Twitter. I need to get on Twitter. I
yeah,
will.
Yeah, well,
I will.
If you're working on 75 hours a week, really, you really don't have time for Twitter by now because you will be honest so much, and then people might get mad at you because you might forget other things. So, yeah. But
yeah.
We have another call. Bobby, one of our co-hosts. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Ellie. Hey, Carly.
Hey, Bobby. How you doing?
Fine. I wanted to say I started watching all my children about the same time Kelly took up the morning show job. That
oh,
he
yes. Yes.
Because that's what got me into that. And plus, with 9/11 going on and stuff like that, I had to watch the replays of the previous week because there was no same-day soaps on the then SoapNet because of 9/11 at the time.
Right, right.
So I had to just have something to deteriorate me away from what was going on in the world.
Yeah.
But I wanted to say it was awesome that you get a chance to work with two wonderful actresses that have worked on ABC, and not to mention on YNRS Victoria, Heather Tom, mm-hmm. who is now
uh-huh.
on Bowling Jufo, and Amir Hai. And both of them have won daytime in the last 4 years.
Yes.
So it's just kind of amazing to see the great talent that they have done.
It's been wonderful. Yeah, you know, certainly doesn't surprise me with either one of them. But
right.
I tune into the shows on occasion, and when I do, I really miss working on the shows, and I really miss my friends that are still working on the shows, whether it's the cast or the crew or the production staff. I really I really miss everyone, and it's so nice too, Bobby, to see the people that you care about still doing what they love to do. I'm
right.
so happy for them that they've had long, wonderful careers.
Right.
You know, it's nice to see.
With that being said about Kelly, what was your? How would you compare Kelly back when she was on All My Children with You versus the Kelly that's working with Michael Strahan now?
Yeah, well, you know, Kelly has, I think, a very similar. Self-confidence. Kelly kind of, it is, you know, she is what she is, meaning that she's very comfortable with herself and her own skin. She loves engaging people. She's a real people lover. And she was just a natural fit. I remember when she announced, came in the makeup room and announced, hey, I'm going to sit in the seat over there next to Regis. And I remember that was before they were actually hiring her. That's when she first went on the show. And we all watched it. We all sat in the makeup room and watched it. And there was no doubt to anyone there that Kelly was a great choice to fill that seat if the network was going to go that direction, you know. And then she went on for the subsequent, you know, visits, and each time she went on, she got better, and you could really see the chemistry between her and Regis, and that
right, right,
cause rest of history.
Right, because half of the ABC stations that carry her morning show also have Carrie All My Children because of the fact that it was ABC, so it worked out perfectly for both her with both the talk show and Hope and Faith later on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the Hope and Faith thing, you know, was nice. She was she was really busy there for a year
right.
or two, you know, really busy with the three jobs.
And I understand why she had to just, you know, quit All My Children. Because when I heard that she was leaving All My Children, I felt disappointed. But at the same time, I understood why. But at the same time, Lisa Renner was doing a talk show and Days of Our Lives at the same time. And I knew sooner or later something would happen. And not to mention another show that Lisa was hosting. So So sooner or later, I knew Lisa's plan to just focus on one thing would eventually happen.
That's interesting.
Yeah, but it was a pleasure to talk to you. And yes, you can friend me on Facebook later tonight.
Great. Okay, great. Thanks,
yeah.
Bobby.
Hey, Bobby, I'm going to put you back on hold, okay?
Yeah, before you do that, I just want to say now that I brought up Amelia and Heather. We ought to get together to maybe to see if one of them can come on the show down the road.
Are you asking me
or are you asking Carly?
Yeah, Carly, yeah. I was going to say, you absolutely have my permission for them to come on to the show.
Well, yeah.
But you might need Carly.
Bobby, sweetie, I will try my best. Like, I'm trying to get everyone booked that you won and everyone won, so I will
try my best. This is...
We have another call. The phone line, though, waiting for you, Eddie, just for you know. Let's see.
Hey, wait a minute. Didn't I tell you to say that whether or not they were really, whether there were really people? Remember I said, hey, listen, even if we don't have any calls, say, oh, wow, the lines are lighting up.
Yes, you did.
Okay,
yes,
good.
You did.
Yeah, okay, good. Good. You follow instructions well.
Yes, I do. Now 3-6, you're on the air.
Hey, Jay, Eddie, how are you?
I'm fine.
I'm a longtime fan, and,
yes.
You know, I watched Young and Restless forever, yeah. And I was so upset whenever you were off the show, although I watched Dallas, I watched All My Children. You were fantastic. One of the things I would really like to drum up for you, if people would get behind this, is have you on Dancing with the Stars. I think that would be a fantastic, for you to be able to do that.
Has anyone
ever asked you if you'd like to do that? I mean, have you been contacted by... Let's see, is it ABC that has the...
It is ABC. Well, actually, there was some talk, and there was some interest at one time. I would say probably around... Well, what happened was some time ago, I was doing a show called Kyle XY over on ABC Family. And when they were replacing Bob Barker, when Bob was retiring over at Price is Right. Yeah, I was up. I actually screen tested to host with the Price is Right at that time, and they had narrowed it down to four people. And I was in that four they narrowed down to. And then at that particular time, they were ABC, or I think it was Disney Channel, was doing the Jonas Brothers television series. And I screen tested to play the dad of the Jonas Brothers. And when I went into screen test, they said to me, you know, we just want to make sure before we hire you for this role that you would be agreeable to do Dancing with the Stars. And I said, well, absolutely. I said, did you not look at my resume? And they said, well, what? And I said, well, I starred in the movie Lumbada. I said, I would love to do Dancing with the Stars.
I really wanted to do it.
I have that
movie of Lumbada. I do.
Oh,
me too.
Wow. Wow, that's nice.
And I think you made another children's movie, too, years ago. Let's see, to Grandmother's House I Go, or...
Yeah, that's right. That's true.
Yeah.
I
have been following you.
My gosh,
ever.
You have been following me for quite some time. Yeah, thank you.
I think daytime is really off right now without you on.
Thank you.
Thank you for saying that.
I love the daytime medium, and thank you. I love the daytime medium. I just want to say that... you know, a lot of daytime people recognized a long time ago that the industry was changing, the demographics was changing, the viewership was changing, obviously due to a lot of factors, and you know, the money behind these shows was changing, obviously due to the less viewership and the revenue and things. Daytime is a wonderful industry that so many of us grew up on, and you know, our families grew up watching, and it would really be a shame if daytime continued to dwindle down. The viewership is there, the support is there, and you know, shows, no shows, pull the numbers that daytime once did, but there's a viable audience for daytime, and they should be able to produce more of these shows, you know, with the revenue that they're able to pull in simply from the viewers that listen to your show and all the people who love daytime TV. So I just say that in general, we all really need to push to continue, you know, to encourage production companies and people to continue to make daytime programming available, you know, for people to watch, whether it's online or it's network cable, you know. It's there,
well,
and
I'm
the viewership
sure
is there,
have...
and the loyalty is there, that the advertisers love the fan base and the loyalty.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure you have other callers, so I'm not going to keep you, but I did want to tell you that you're one of my favorites, and I wish that daytime or nighttime or anytime would get
you
back on.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for calling.
You bet. Bye.
Yeah, call again.
Wow, we have nice callers. That's nice. Really,
well,
really nice
they,
callers.
Eddie, I'm not joking. They are lighting up. Yeah, I'm like, crap, they are lighting up. There goes my Eddie time. Okay, fine. Yes, I can be selfish, yes, but when it comes to you and a couple of other guys, I will be selfish. It's my soap, but I won't be selfish today. 443, you're on the air.
Hi, Eddie. It's Bonnie in Buffalo.
Oh, my goodness. Bonnie.
Hi, honey. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Resist.
How are you?
I didn't resist calling in. I said, oh, my gosh, I can't believe this. It is so cool to hear your voice over the airwaves. I had to jump off the treadmill and call you. So, I just called to say hi, and I wanted to let you, clearly you have a lot of fans out there, huge fan base. And
well, so far we have four. We have four, you make five.
That's four that could only get
I'll take it.
Through, you know? So, I just want to tell them that I've known Eddie, I'm so proud and blessed to call this man a friend of mine, and I've known him for many years, and he is one of the kindest people walking this earth. He's just an absolutely beautiful soul inside and out, and I'm just, again, happy to call him friend, and I'm so proud of all of his accomplishments, and I can't wait to see you in a couple months.
thank you.
You're welcome, honey.
Thank
That's
you
so
for
sweet.
Letting me call
you.
You're very welcome, and Eddie, I'll touch base with you soon. Okay,
that sounds great. Get back on that treadmill, girl.
I got to do mine tonight. We'll touch base, okay?
Okay.
Talk soon.
Thank you for taking the time to call.
Oh, please. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, Ansop 10 is calling in from Skype. Hello, you're on the air with us. Hello?
Hi.
Hello?
Who's this again?
It's AmSop10. It's from Skype. Hello?
Hi.
You're on the air with us? Hello? Well, I will try again in a bit.
Yeah. Have him try back. Please try back.
Yeah. But my best friend, Meg, and one of the hosts is on the line now. Hey, Meg.
Hi. Oh, what a thrill. I was so excited.
I'm sorry, who is this again? What's your name?
Maggie, M-A-G-G-I-E.
Oh, Maggie. Hi, Maggie.
Hi. I love Cole, and I cried when you left.
Ah, so did my wife. Literally.
I think Carly did, too. But
Dallas,
we showed your immense talent. It was so multidimensional. I loved every minute you were on screen.
Thank you.
Yes, you too. And I want to thank you so very much for being on the show tonight.
Thank you. No, it's great to be here. You know, I have two boys, One just turned 21, and the other just turned 25. And you know, they've really not seen much. You know, we never watched daytime in the house. You know, and they never saw my daytime stuff. And you know, back at the stuff I did prior to them, you know, being born, they haven't really seen things. But I've often thought, well, I really should show them the Dallas, some of the Dallas stuff, because they're old enough. Obviously, they would get a real kick out of it. When you're younger, you know, when your kids are younger, you don't want to show them that dastardly side of you, you know, doing drugs and beating people up and going into the rage that Tommy had to go into and all that sort of thing. Not the kind of thing you want to bring the kids up on, you know. Now, to Grandma's house we go. My oldest boy, he used to know every single line in the movie, you know. So he loved Mary Kate and Ashley, so that was a movie that I was so proud to be a part of, and really proud that my children can have that on their shelf one day, you know, to show their kids.
Well, yeah, because it's appropriate viewing for them finally, and. You know, but of course they don't want to see Dad making out with someone. You know, you cannot do that to your kids.
No, it's true.
It might scar them
for
life.
I have to tell you all kind of a crazy story. When my youngest boy was in first grade, he was in school maybe about a month or two. First grade. And one night we went out to our favorite Italian restaurant. He was sitting at the table. And he said, Dad, hey, Dad. Dad, I have a question. I said, yes, son. What's your question? Well, when I went to school today, Miss Cano said, well, your dad got in a fight with his wife today and told her, get out, and don't come back. And anyway, he said, well, she said, well, when your dad goes to work, he has another family when he goes to work. And he's like, Dad, do you have another family?
Oh, my God.
And I said to my wife, I think I'm going to have a talk with the school.
Yes.
please don't run the storyline by my 6-year-old son. He doesn't really understand that his dad is an actor and he goes and plays roles. He doesn't really get that so much, you know. But that was always kind of funny because, you know, a lot of times, you know, the kids would run into other parents and this and that that would kind of fill them in on the storyline. I remember one time my son, I think he was about the same age, and he was over at a friend's house or something, and the friend's mom was there with somebody else. Said, yeah, his daddy goes to work and kisses girls all day long. Yeah, and he came by. Hey, Mom, such and such said that Dad went to work, and Dad goes to work, and he kisses pretty girls all day long, you know. So, and my wife responded, yes, honey, it's a horrible job, but someone has to do it. Thank goodness your daddy does that for us. And so that was kind of the way it went.
Oh, how was Highway to Heaven and Diagnosis Murder and...
What are you doing? Googling me? Where are you coming up with all this stuff, Carly?
No, I remember. Okay, I swear I don't Google. Well, I Google before this, but I don't Google after. But no, I remember you on Diagnosis, and you were so good. You were really good. And how was that?
Well, that was fun. I got to work with my friend Victoria Rao at the time, you know, when she was on the show. And, of course, Dick Van Dyke, I was a huge fan. And even Scott Baio, you know, very nice gentleman, and got to spend some time with Scott. And I really liked him, and I was a fan of his as well. And that was one of those jobs where you play yourself. I was actually playing J.D. Peck, who is a soap opera actor, you know.
Exactly, you will.
Yes, I was actually playing myself on the show, which was kind of odd. But now, what was the other show you mentioned?
Highway to Heaven. And
oh, Highway to Heaven. Fun. Highway to Heaven. You know, I have another little story about Highway to Heaven. That was a guest star. I played the dastardly, kind of a villainous bully on the show. And, you know, at that particular time, what I wanted to do, you know, with all of my roles is just really take them to the next level, if you will. And when I played this high school bully on Highway to Heaven, and I immediately, you know, Michael Landon was directing that episode. And I went to Michael, you know, the first day, and I said, hey, Michael, I kind of have an idea of doing this. And it was taking it much further than what was in the writing, in the words. And he was so awesome, so supportive. And he's like, I love it. Great. Run with it. Do it. And so that character was just, I mean, if you watch it, when I watch it, I hate that guy. Oh, my goodness. He was kind of the worst bully, you know, that I could think of, you know, when I was a kid. Let me pick the worst bully in the world that kind of, you know, a very distasteful person, and that's the way I played that character. Of course, that character was the antithesis of me, and that's one of those, you know, sometimes you get those roles, and you always wonder whether or not you're, it's funny, I had a relative of my mother one time say, oh, we watch Eddie and all the stuff that he does, but why does he always play these troubled people? He plays these violent, horrible, you know, drug addicted, troubled people who go around beating people up. He was always such a sweet child. And I was like, I'm just trying to work. I'm just trying, wherever they're put me, I'm just trying to work.
Can, but when you told the story about The Price is Right, I'm heartbroken once again because I grew up watching Price is Right, and my grandfather made me watch it every day, so I got hooked on it. And come on, you would have done better than Drew Carey. I know I'm not
Carly,
supposed to say those
you.
Things.
Well, we won't tell Drew that, but you know, when I was at Y&R, you know, all of the contract players, they get their own dressing room. And Bob Barker had the nicest dressing room, you know, over there at CBS. But if you have your own regular room, they come in and they put some nice furniture in and they paint it for you, and they take really good care of the actors on Young and the Restless. But I had my stage manager come to me one time and said, you know, Eddie, we can either get you your own room and we can fix it up the way you like it, or actually, you know, Bob is only over there a few days a week. You could use Bob's room when Bob's not in, and then when Bob is in, I can put you in someone else's room. And I was like, Bob had a steam shower, and I love to steam before my work. And it was the only shower in the whole building that was a steam. And so I said, are you kidding? I'll share the room with Bob. So I shared the room with Bob. There were some other similarities. I think it was kind of common that I just felt like it was fate that I host The Price is Right. And I tell you what those were. Bob and I are both from Southwest Missouri. He's from Springfield. Mm-hmm. I'm from Joplin. When I was in high school, we used to play his high school, Central High School in Springfield. We would play them in football, basketball, and baseball, and other sports. Bob went on to Evangel College and became a Sigma Nu fraternity. Well, I was a Sigma Nu at Missouri Southern State University. Bob's mother was an animal activist, as mine. Bob got his start in radio, so did I. Bob went to California to do radio initially, and I went to California as a radio disc jockey to do voiceovers. And there were so many similarities. And then one day, while I'm on hold, CBS had me on hold for 6 weeks, for my test deal. I basically was in a holding pattern for 6 weeks while they were deciding what they were going to do. And Drew's name was not in the mix at that time. Drew was not even one of the names in the mix. But I was out talking to my pool man, the guy who cleaned my pool for 5 years. And he's like, hey, Eddie, what are you up to? What are you up to nowadays? And, just a little this, a little that. And I work on this show here, Kyle X, Y, and I'm actually trying to get Bob Barker's job over at The Price is Right. I said, I've always wanted to host that show. He goes, really? Wow, man, that's really cool. He says, you know, I've cleaned Bob's pools for 11 years. I said, wait a minute. You clean Bob's pools? Yeah, I've cleaned his pools for 11 years. So here I find out we share the same pool man. So I'm thinking to myself, this is fate. We have such a similar background. We're from the same part of the country. I share the dressing room with Bob. We have the same pool man. This job is meant to be. And at the end of the day, it was meant to be for Drew. So, anyway, it was fun while it lasted.
Well, I know, but before you go, how was booking with Jeannie Cooper? Because Christoph tells me really good story when he was on the air, and I wanted to know, did she ever pinch your butt? I asked all my
I had it sticking out there, you know, many, many times. It was in grabbing distance, and I'm a little insulted that she never went for it. So, but anyway, Jeannie was a mother to us all, including Eric. You know what I mean? She was a mother to us all, even those that were, you know, within her age range, because Jeannie just had this tremendous heart of gold. And I stayed in touch with Jeannie after I left the show. I had lunch with her, I don't think how long ago it was, probably about 6 years ago. I got together with her and had lunch at California Pizza Kitchen down from where she lived. And but we had stayed in touch for a long time, and she has a wonderful family. Her son Colin was a friend of mine from way back. And,
Wow.
She's just a wonderful person. I love Jeannie. Just love Jeannie. She was just she was a real soul of the show. We have so many wonderful people over there, the Young and Restless, to this day. You know, we just have wonderful folks over there. Jeannie was, I think, the real soul of the show.
Do you want me to try to get you back on my email? I know I don't have that much power, but I think I have that much power in my head. And I want you back in daytime.
Carly. Thank you.
And if you could do that one little favor for me, just get back in daytime. I mean,
so I can
see you 5 days a week.
Thank you. That's very sweet of you. I appreciate that. You know, I actually... for a long time, I love acting, and I loved working in daytime television. But as time went on, you know, through my career, I started kind of deviating out of just the acting, and I was trying to really write and produce and do other things. So when I left All My Children, I wasn't really looking to get back onto another daytime show. It's not that I didn't want to. It's just I wanted to take the time to explore the writing, producing thing for me, and to explore some other opportunities. And as time went on, you know, that's a very tough game. That was a very tough game for me to succeed at. And as time went on, my career, my cachet started to wane a bit, you know. And I reached a point to where I was like, wow, I am still really able to do other things that I've always been interested in doing, which is business. And you know, now I'm the CEO, present CEO of a financial services company that's a network marketing company. We're direct sales. And the reason why this appealed to me was I really enjoy doing public speaking, and I love mentoring people, and I love, you know, motivating the crowd, if you will, you know, those people who are looking to improve their lives through personal development and using a product to do that. So I started getting more involved in public speaking and some motivational speaking, and that led to an opportunity for me to come in and launch a company 3 years ago, which is where I'm at today. I love what I do. We provide a great service, and a lot of people are able to find a path for themselves to succeed in representing our company and our product. But I will tell you this. As much as I've enjoyed this, as much as I enjoyed my own personal growth through the journey, more and more I've realized that I am an actor. I'm an artist. I love storytelling. I love storytelling. And I really, really miss being able to tell stories, being involved with people who are so passionate about telling stories and moving audiences and people. And no matter what it is that I do, Carly, no matter what it is, it's all about having an effect on people, having a positive effect on people, whether it's entertainment or whether it's me helping people discover their own truth and value and inspiration for them to go out and have what I like to call their own slice of the pie. And it's those things that make me get up every day and really get me enthused. It's always been about the people that I work with as well. Throughout my entire career, it's not about me going back and pulling the videotape or the DVD off my shelf and watching me in a role. I've enjoyed doing that. But more so than that, for me, it's been the engagement with the fans that I met along the way doing the personal appearances that I did. I did a lot of personal appearances. And it's also been about the people that I work with, my crew, my cast, production staff. So much of the value of what I've had throughout my career has really come down to the direct engagement of the people that I work with and the people that I met along the way. So for me, I'm not one who just has to be on stage, and it's not just about me playing a role or me, starring on a show or doing great work. That's a good part of it, but it's not been all of it. And because of that, I've been able to work outside of acting and entertainment and be very fulfilled, in things that I do. But I will tell you, even my son, who's 25, he's a really, really, really bright guy, super bright guy, a lot smarter than his dad. He's had an interest in acting. And I've always kind of like, son, you can always be an actor, but you're so great at this. Just do this. Just do that. Well, I have had a change of thought in the last couple of years. And the reason why I have is because my wife and I have talked about it. I've said, you know what, son, I really believe that being an actor is the greatest profession in the world. I think it's even better than being a sports athlete because it's a different kind of pressure, and you can do it forever when you're really good at it and people want to see you. You can do it forever. So I've really kind of encouraged my son. I'm like, hey, you have so many great gifts, but if you have it in your heart to do whatever it is that one has to do, pursue that passion and pursue it with a vengeance. Mm-hmm. And for me, I'm certainly not ready to hang up my powder puff or my wardrobe or my blow dryer.
Good.
I'm not ready to hang it up. I would really love to have the opportunity. I basically still look the same as I did a few years ago. I've managed to be able to hang on to,
No. You
looking
so
similar. So I'm still... I'm still able, I think, to play a leading man, and I can still do that, it'd be nice if I could go back at some point. But I don't know.
I have a whole thing, a character for you on Zeno Hospital. I could tell the viewers of YNS would be really, really sexy, and you will be working with Monique Spinoz, Sunny, on Zeno Hospital. And I am waiting to the liberty, but we hope you come back. I mean, I want you to come back.
Thank you.
Very selfish the next time. I will just take the whole hour up for me and you. I will do that.
Oh, thank you. Well, I appreciate you reaching out. You're reaching out to me to do this interview. It was really nice, and I know we kind of waited a long time to do it, and I apologize for that.
That's okay. I was going to, I warned you the word stalk. I warned you that word, but I was going to harass you until basically we found a time and you said, yes, that was my plan.
Thanks.
Yeah,
well,
and
do we have any other callers that are there?
No. No.
They all went away?
No.
Yeah.
We took care of them. But we would really like you to come back in a couple of months, around Thanksgiving time or something.
Yeah,
and,
okay, but you let me know.
Do not work 75 hours a week. Go play. It's the summertime.
I know. I don't see much of the daylight, I can tell you that. I couldn't put in those kind of hours, if it wasn't for a good reason and if I didn't enjoy doing what I'm doing, and again, I get to deal with people, and that's what really, really gets me excited, is being able to help others and And just that whole engagement that we get to do here, and I enjoy that. I enjoy it a lot.
Well, yeah, but it's summer. It's summer, so you got to promise me you will go out for like 1 or 2 days. I mean, I'm not telling you to go to the beach.
I will. I'm gonna go surfing with my boys. That's what we're gonna do.
And remember, when you're surfing with your boys, you might not be as good as you once was, and your boys might be better. So the
they're a lot better. They're a lot better at everything.
Well, they are younger. They are younger, and
going
to be.
Hey, I gave them good training, too.
Well, yes, and we would love to have you back on.
Thanks.
And I will keep you emailing you and let you know when a good time is for Thanksgiving, around Thanksgiving.
That sounds great. Well, we will do it, and God bless you all, and thanks for making my evening. I look forward to this, and I've really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Yes, and if you ever run into Stevie Burton, tell him hi. I met him before.
I haven't seen him. I haven't seen Steve in a while. But boy, every time I see him, I get that warm feeling. He's such a great person.
He's all my and all my. I mean, he's at your own stopping ground, my and all.
Yeah, exactly.
Go see Christoph and Steve.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
I love that story.
Absolutely.
I know.
Okay,
have a great night.
Hey, you all
Bye-bye.
Have a great evening, too. Okay?
We will.
You too.
Thank you.
All right.
God bless you.
Bye-bye now. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Oh, my aunt. Thank you, Carly.
That was Zay Eddie Peck. If you missed the interview, you can listen on the archives. I'm bringing on Bobby and Susan.
Hey, guys. It was a great interview. Thank you very much for taking the time to get
of course.
On. And,
Bobby, remember,
like
I told you. Bobby, I told you, you. Bobby, I told you, you are the co-host now. You have privileges. All of the co-hosts and hosts have privileges. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, you know what? I'm going to try to get Heather and Amelia on the show real soon. So I'll try to get try to see what they can do. Okay,
that would be great, Bob. Okay, what is your date of a life casting news update?
Well, Cameron Brown is heading back to Days of Our Lives as Ava. A lot of people was surprised, why not Taylor? And in my just was thinking, why not Taylor, not Ava?
Well, in my mind, now that Pass is coming back, it makes perfect sense why she might be coming back.
Right. But don't know if this is a good idea to have her play the same role. And we don't know what Ava been up to in the last 7 years since she left.
And you know what? I'm really, on. I would like seeing it.
Hello?
I would like seeing it.
Hello?
Bobby? You here? So, Susan, how are you? Bobby? I'm Susan, how are you? Susan?
The phone's cutting out.
Oh, God. Okay, but you're still here, Maggie, right?
Mm-hmm. The phone is cutting in and out. I don't know what's going on. Maybe
another thunderstorm. Well, maybe it's the weather. Zake's alive on Zeno Hospital. And Maggie, did you want to tell everyone who called that?
Carly.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And
thank you.
There was always so many holes into it.
Mm-hmm. Oh boy.
And let's see. Oh, Bobby's back. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, I'm sorry about the connection, but
stop apologizing. Phones are being weird today. Any more casting news before we wrap it up today?
Well, I just want to just say that that there's no more casting, but I did hear some exciting news from GH that I forgot to bring up the other night, that that Kelly Thornton and Brian, I hope I pronounced her name right, and Brian Craig are getting married, so I'm happy for them. And I'm also happy that Adrian Front, who used to have been Amber on Bold and Beautiful, and Scott Scott Bailey, who used to be on Guiding Light, are having a baby. Because I know that Adrian has tried in the past and had miscarriage, but I'm very happy for her. And if she ever, and she's welcome to come on the show, I'll try to send her out an invitation as soon as she can. I would love to see her either on the show to talk about what she's been doing and to see maybe Bowling View or Wyatt can lure her back as Amber.
Yeah.
We need Amber back.
Well, yeah. I mean, at least she can straighten Rick out and maybe put Milo in her place or his place or whoever she is. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Allie is helping out a little bit with her safeness, but Allie is Allie, I guess.
Well, yeah. Bob.
Yeah.
Are you friends with on Facebook, Ivy?
Yeah, I just Ashley Brewer.
Please try and get her on the show.
Well, you know what? I've been wanting to just get her on any of the other shows until I've been willing enough to want to talk to her on any show, including your show. I'll be happy enough to just pass the news to her, Ashley. But the thing is, I don't know if she might be on holiday in Australia or what.
We have all you to, you know.
I'll try to get Ashley on the show soon, and I think Ashley Pierce, who plays Allie, she's I believe in Paris from what she tweeted the other day to celebrate her birthday. So as soon as she gets back, I'm gonna try to invite her to come back on the show. In addition to Heather and Amelia, like I told you and Eddie earlier.
But we are going to end early today because I don't want my voice going, but we will be back Friday night at 6 p.m. earlier because we are having Jay Harlow on the show from Days of Our Life and The Bay. She will be here.
Well, I'm going to be definitely calling into that show.
Very good, Abby.
And make sure now. To set my plans for 6 p.m. West Coast time on Friday.
Yep.
Because I talked to Jayla a few months ago, and I think it would be great to talk to her once again, especially on your show, since I was talking to her on Dan's show a couple of months ago.
Okay, well.
So it would be a pleasure to talk to her again.
Okay, well, Susan, thanks for calling in, too. Susan, can you hear us?
Good.
You have a good night, Carly and
Oh,
Megan,
wait, we have another call.
Yeah.
3110, you're on the air. 3110. 3110, you're on the air with us.
Hello, 3110.
Okay, you hung up. Okay.
On that note, I'm going to say good night to you and Maggie, and we'll talk again later in the week.
Okay, Bobby. Good night. Take care.
Okay. Have a good night. Night, guys. Text me later, Susan, and I will call you maybe in about 5 minutes.
Okay. Later.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay. Bye. That was Zay Eddie Peck on the program. Check it out, and have a good week, you guys. See you Friday at 6 p.m. West Coast. Thank you. Bye-bye.